If you take your Bibles, please, and turn back to Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning of verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, where Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." As we come to the story of Zacchaeus, let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, we look to you, Lord, to take these verses, the story, and Lord, to change each of our hearts. Lord, may we walk more as you would have us to walk than ever before because of this story and the words that touch us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The familiar story of Zacchaeus, found only here in Luke's Gospel, is a story that illustrates Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth, the reason to go to Jerusalem, to seek out and save lost sinners. God has to seek sinners because, as Romans 3 verse 11 says, there is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God. The seeking is seen throughout the Scripture and goes back to the beginning of time. After Adam and Eve had sinned and then tried to hide from God, God came into the Garden of Eden seeking them. And Genesis 3:9 called to them, "Where are you?" Ezekiel 34 verse 11 says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." That the Son of God came into the world to save sinners was made clear throughout the New Testament as well. Back in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, 5, that Jesus appeared so that he might take away our sins. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." The story of Zacchaeus and his conversion is one of the clearest biblical stories of God seeking a particular sinner. Out of a massive crowd, Zacchaeus had a divine appointment with the seeking, saving Lord. Jesus found him, called him by name, and called him to salvation. Jericho, we talked a little bit last week. Jericho was a very wealthy and a very important town, situated in the Jordan Valley, 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It straddled the road from Jerusalem to the crossings of the Jordan River that gave access to the lands across the river itself. In the midst of the Judean desert, it had a great palm forest, and world-famous balsam groves perfumed the air for miles around. Men called it the City of Palms. The historian Josephus calls it a divine region, the fattest in Palestine. The Romans carried the dates, the balsam, to worldwide fame and trade. All this combined to make Jericho one of the richest taxation centers in Palestine. It was here that we find Zacchaeus. Luke wrote, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector."
Although tax collectors were among the most hated and despised people in Israel, it wasn't a crime to be one, since taxation was authorized in the law of Moses. In Luke 3, when some repentant tax collectors asked John the Baptist, "Teacher, what should we do?" John replied, "Don't collect any more than you're required to." In Luke 20, verse 23, Jesus commanded that taxes be paid when he said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." For that matter, in Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27, Jesus paid his own taxes. What God disliked was abusive or illegitimate taxes, extortion and dishonesty, taking money from people by use of physical violence, intimidation, and cruelty, as tax collectors in Jesus' day were known for doing. Such behavior of the tax collectors made them rich, but at the cost of being barred from the synagogue, because people considered them sellouts to the Roman government as well as unclean. Tax collectors even cut off from any social relationships. The name Zacchaeus means righteous one, but as a tax collector, he definitely was not living up to what his name was. Zacchaeus was no ordinary tax collector. He was a man who reached the top of his profession. He was a chief tax collector. He was a commissioner of taxes, the head of the region tax collectors. He would employ others to the actual collecting of the taxes, and then he would pass on what the Romans required. Jericho was a good spot for a tax man, so he was wealthy. Though Zacchaeus was a renegade, a traitor in the eyes of the Jews, and rich in his own eyes, Zacchaeus was a precious, lost sinner in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Like many in the crowd, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not. He was curious about Jesus. But more than that, looking at his response to Jesus' message, I think he had a troubled heart. He knew he was alienated from God. Perhaps he was feeling guilty for his sins. So being resourceful, he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. In the East, it's unusual for a man to run, especially a wealthy government official. But Zacchaeus ran down the street like a little boy following a parade. He even climbed a tree. Curiosity is certainly a characteristic of most children, and Zacchaeus was motivated by curiosity that day. Climbing up into that tree, he waited for Jesus, the Savior, to come along. Zacchaeus may have thought that he was seeking Jesus, but actually, Jesus was seeking him. When Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus sat in the tree waiting, Jesus did and said some things that must have shocked Zacchaeus and the crowd as well. First, Jesus stopped. Then he looked up and made eye contact with that outcast Zacchaeus. And then he called him by name. And finally, and most amazing of all, Jesus commanded Zacchaeus to take him home. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It was part of God's plan for Jesus to stay with Zacchaeus that day so that Zacchaeus could repent and be saved. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. This is probably the first time that any honorable, ceremonial, clean, and respected person had ever come to his house. Just as the father welcomed his prodigal son back home, back in Luke chapter 15, Jesus was welcoming a sinning, hated agent of Rome. The reaction to Jesus' choice for a host didn't meet with popular approval. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Actually, the word is grumble. They grumbled, "He's gone to be the host or friend of a tax collector, a sinner." The crowd was upset. They're upset at Jesus' actions. Not only did he stop to speak with Zacchaeus, he was going to his house. No self-respecting Jew would ever dirty himself by staying at the house of the chief administrator of Roman taxation. The people were right, the people were wrong. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he wasn't beyond the touch of God or his call to repent. The crowd may have written Zacchaeus off, but Jesus didn't. Jesus' visit with Zacchaeus showed his acceptance of even a tax collector. Jesus didn't worry about the effect this association would make on his reputation. Jesus' priority was to associate closely enough with the lost so that they might come to know the grace of God, that they would repent and be saved. This is why he came to earth. This is why he was going to Jerusalem, to seek and to save sinners. Luke doesn't describe the conversation. He doesn't describe the meal. He doesn't even describe Zacchaeus' exact response. But the result, the salvation of Zacchaeus, is evident from his changed life. We read that Zacchaeus stood up. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And then he gave proof of the change in his heart by announcing, "Here and now, I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." With a changed heart, Zacchaeus was aware of his sin and desired to right the wrongs that he had done. Zacchaeus wasn't saved because he promised to do good works. He was saved because he responded in faith to Jesus' gracious words to him. Having trusted the Savior, he then gave evidence of his faith by promising to make restitution to those that he had wronged. Saving faith is more than just pious words and devout feelings. In Zacchaeus' changed heart, his love, his faith in God are demonstrated by his deeds and his love for others. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" Later in verse 26, James wrote, "As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Zacchaeus' salvation was made evident by the complete change in his behavior and his attitude. Jesus confirmed the reality of Zacchaeus' salvation when he said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Physically, Zacchaeus had been a son of Abraham all of his life, but now he was a son of Abraham spiritually. Paul wrote about this. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, begin in verse 28. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Writing to Christians and talking about Christianity, in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, Paul writes, "A man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he's one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God." Paul put it this way back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Zacchaeus was no longer just a son of Abraham by birth, but a son of Abraham by faith. That very day, he was justified by his faith in Jesus Christ. The one who had been lost was saved and delivered from sin and death and hell. Jesus had sought him, had called him by name. Zacchaeus believed and repented, and his conduct and his life were transformed. Jesus' final words to Zacchaeus summarized his mission to earth. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Son of Man is a messianic title. Stands for Messiah, taken back from the book of Daniel. This is Jesus' most common way of referring to himself. It describes his humanity and his deity. Seek and save are his purpose. Lost is the condition of everyone, anyone without God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but there is hope." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. The sinner was Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was curious about Jesus. And like a child, he climbed a sycamore tree. The Savior Jesus came searching, or came seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, and the crowd was upset with Jesus' choice. The result? Zacchaeus believed, and his saving faith is more than pious words and devout feelings. Zacchaeus' salvation was evident by his changed behavior. And loss is the condition of everyone without God. I think it's good to read and reread the stories of Jesus' miracles and healings, of his reaching out to sinners like Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus last week, of his call to them to repent and be saved. It's good to remember his amazing love for each one of us as well. The weeks of Lent are a good time to remember what it cost him to seek and to save the lost. Isaiah prophesied about this a little bit. Turn to the familiar chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Let me start with verse 3. Isaiah 53, beginning of verse 3. Writing of the Messiah, Isaiah wrote some 600 years before Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he is taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he is cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Writing of Jesus, John 1:3 says, through him all things are made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. When he stopped to call Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, was on his way to die on a cross for the world. But just as he did stopping for Bartimaeus and the other blind man, he took time to stop and to talk. Romans 5:8 puts it this way, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hebrews 12:2 describes him this way. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus willingly came and then died in your place so that you could have your sins forgiven and not suffer an eternity in hell, but instead have eternal life beginning the moment Jesus becomes your Lord and your Savior. This was and is an amazing love that God had for each one of us. As you take time and think of Jesus' sacrifice for you, what's your response? Paul, I think, gives the answer in Romans chapter 12. He writes, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So the first question to ask you, have you accepted God's gift? Peter said in Acts 2, verse 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then the second question, which is for most of you, if not all of you, if you've made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, does your life show it? Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Zacchaeus, his life was changed when he met the Master and gave his life to Jesus Christ. What about your life? Is your life any different because you're a Christian compared to those around you? Let's pray. Lord, your life is an example to all of us. As we saw last week, Peter says to walk in your steps. But sometimes, Lord, I think we cop out and say, well, he was God, and I can't do what God does. So I think, Lord, that's why you put people like Zacchaeus in the Bible. Zacchaeus was a man like each one of us. But yet, Lord, when he met you, his life was changed. Lord, I pray that our meeting you has changed us and that we continue to walk as you would have us to walk. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.